I invite you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Genesis, the book of Genesis. I'm going to look at two different packages of Scripture. The first we'll look at is Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15, if you'd like to turn there. Genesis 2:15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die.'" Then just jump over to chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Thus far God's word. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word tonight, we ask that you would open our eyes and, more importantly, our hearts to it, to understand it by the power of thy Spirit and to be receptive to it. We ask that you would sanctify us this evening with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we looked at the book of James, James 1, 2 through 4, and we dissected trials in terms of perspective and their goal. We found out that we are to view trials with joy, no matter how painful, because of God's intended purpose, which is endurance. He wants us to find our ultimate security in Him, not in anything in this world. And sometimes He'll send a trial to take away something that is our security so that we hold on to Him instead. The first trial, which is what we're looking at tonight, is the trial of Adam and Eve in the garden with the serpent. Adam and Eve were sinless, but they were not yet perfected. They were surrounded by the beauty of God's creation, which had no corruption at all. God had given them the commandment of working. They were to work and till the garden. In fact, the garden was a place that they met with God. It was the place they met with God. It was their sanctuary that they met with God. And they were to keep it and keep it clean. They were given total freedom inside and outside the garden. But they had one little boundary that God gave them. They had one negative command given to them. If you think about it, before this one, they had all positive commands. They were told to be fruitful and multiply. They were told to work and keep the garden. They were told to keep the Sabbath day. But then God brings in a negative command. Do not eat of this tree. Do not eat of this tree. Why would God give such a command as that? Why wouldn't he just let them enjoy everything that he made without any boundary? Kind of reminds me of a story I heard in the past that there was one church that was growing leaps and bounds. That church, it started small, and now the attendance was overflowing. The attendance was overflowing so much that the pastor was looking outside the church one Sunday and saw people were having to park way down the road because their parking lot was full. And it's kind of a good problem to have, okay? Church overflowing, but people had no place to park. So he looked around as he saw the people walking into church one morning, and he looked next door, and there was a drugstore in which all the parking spaces were empty. In fact, he walked up to the drugstore and he saw a sign that it was closed. In fact, it was closed every Sunday. So he had a bright idea of calling the owner of the drugstore. And he did, and he asked the owner if it would be possible if his church members could possibly park there on Sundays, since it was closed and nobody was using those spots. And the owner said, well, let's talk about that in person. So they met, and the pastor asked him again, and the owner said, no problem at all. You can park here on Sundays, and that should help alleviate your problem because we have, you know, over 100 parking spaces. Well, the pastor was so delighted from that, he shook the owner's hand and he thanked him and walked away with great joy. The owner said, well, just one little thing. Just one little thing. On this one Sunday in July, you cannot park here. The pastor kind of stopped in his tracks and said, boy, why can't we park here on there? So he turned around and came back to the owner and said, I just had a question. On that particular Sunday in July, are you closed or is there some activity you have such that those parking spaces would be used? The owner said, no, we're closed on that day, just like every other day, every other Sunday. Well, the pastor scratched his head again, and he just couldn't get out of his mind. He said, boy, we can park here on all these other Sundays, but this one Sunday, and they're still closed. It doesn't make any sense. So he went right back to the owner, said, I better get him before we part. And he said to the owner, I just don't understand. I mean, I'm very thankful that we can park here on all the other Sundays, but if you're closed on this Sunday, Could you explain maybe why we can't park here if these spaces are going to remain empty? And the owner said, yes, let me explain that to you. The owner said, the reason you can't park here on this one Sunday is because I want to remind you who the owner is. I want to remind you who the owner is. The pastor said, well, very well. Thank you, and we'll abide by that. I think that's exactly what's going on here with this one prohibition that God gave Adam and Eve. That God wanted to remind Adam and Eve who he was. That God is the owner of creation. That God is the creator, and they were the creature. That Adam and Eve were fully dependent upon God for everything. That they were not independent creatures, but they were dependent creatures. God wanted to remind them that he was sovereign, not them. God wanted to remind them who their authority was, that their authority did not lie in themselves, but lied in him. And this here set the stage for the first trial in history. And that first trial was the serpent questioning God's command not to eat of that tree that we find in chapter 3. The serpent questioned the dependency of man upon God, didn't he? By saying what? He said that you shall surely not die. God said you would die. Trying to coax them to eat of this tree. That the serpent was questioning their dependency upon God. He got them to start thinking that they would be better off being independent from God. He got them to think about independence. And so what did she do? If you look in verse 6 of chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Just didn't take it, but ate it. She saw it was good for food. Yet there were so many other trees they could eat from. She saw it was a delight to her eyes. And so she began to lust after it. She saw it desirable to make her wise. And so she dismissed the wisdom of God and embraced her own. In fact, she embraced the wisdom of the serpent, the devil. And then she ate along with Adam. Many times we read this account of the fall, and we don't look at the incredible severity of what happened. There is incredible severity of what they did. What did they do? they ended up rebelling against God. They ended up thinking that they knew better. They ended up thinking that they knew better than what God did. They claimed to be sovereign and dismissed God's sovereignty. They dismissed His right to tell them what to do and embraced their right of what to do. This is what happens when we let trials become temptations to sin. You see? We see this in our country today. So many aspects of sin. You see, for example, the rise of gay marriage, the rise of transgenderism, where people are walking in open defiance against what God said is right in marriage, what God says is right in what male and female is, and walk in that defiance by doing what? By remaking their own definitions. Walking in open rebellion against the obvious. Years ago, the gay marriage, it was even once taboo in even the secular realm. That it was shunned upon, looked upon. But now, through court rulings and so on, now it's looked on favorably. Now you're looked on wrong by telling them that they're wrong. By telling them what God says is right on marriage, they rebel back against that. We see a walking defiance of people not caring what God says is right and doing what they think is right. And that's exactly what we do when we sin in any degree. We embrace what we think is right and dismiss what God says is right. See, trials are sent from God to cause endurance for us. We need to keep that perception. When we don't, we open ourselves to being tempted by sin and falling into sin. See, God sent that trial of the serpent into the garden to cause Adam and Eve to endure and grow in maturity in their sinlessness before God. But the serpent got them to view it from another perspective, a false perspective, a lack of goodness perspective, questioning the motives of God. And that's what we have to be careful of when trials come our way. That we don't trust God's purposes and so rebel against them and embrace our own purposes. That they're going against the way I think my life should run instead of trusting how God says it should be run. So as we come into the new year of 2019 this year, let's keep this in mind as trials will come our way, that we keep our dependence upon God's word about how to view trials and how to grow in maturity through them. Again, trials are so painful. It doesn't matter how small or how big they are always painful. But what we can do is view them with the right perspective so that we don't turn inward like Eve did, but we turn outward to what God says in the midst of trials. Let's pray. Father, as we contemplated the first trial in history, we ask that you would help us to keep that in mind every time we face a trial in this coming year and for the rest of our lives, as you, through trials, usher us into glory, as you, through trials, build maturity in us to cause endurance. Help us not to forget that. We ask that you would watch over us in this new year, that you would keep us safe, that you would keep us close to you, that you would keep us in your word, meditating upon it day and night. Pray that you would cause us to always see our security in you and not in anything in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.